1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Is this our 20th or 21st mission conference? It was December of 76 and we changed it. Did we skip a year?
No.
So it's the 21st mission conference. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What I want to do is focus on just one phrase in verse 24, that last phrase, so run that ye may obtain. You notice how much he talks about here obtaining, gaining, receiving, having, obtaining. That's a good capitalistic word, you know, obtaining. There are some things worth obtaining. Even if we realize that some things are not as valuable as other things and we learn how to prioritize our desires, yet still, there are a lot of things worth obtaining. And it's true that we as Americans, we might have some higher goals as far as material things, trying to obtain them than Mexicans where I live or and even in Mexico there are different classes of people that have different types of goals, you know? But there are some material things worth obtaining. You stop and think about it. Even if we divide up the things that are worth obtaining into material and spiritual, there are some material things worth obtaining. For example, your own home. I know a lot of people in Mexico who live in little holes in the wall. I'm serious, these are just holes in the wall, and they walk in there and they've got a little room off of one side that they're renting for, you know, $5 a month or something, and they live there with their, they're renting it, they live there with their family, but their ambition, their desire is to obtain their own home. Is there something wrong with that? No, not even for Christians. There's nothing wrong with desiring to obtain your own home. Now I realize that we sometimes get a little bit foolish and we want to obtain a better home or a bigger home or, you know, whatever. And maybe that is a little bit foolish. Sometimes we do mess up on our priorities. But I don't think it's wrong for us to have certain ambitions for gain. Gain your own home. Is it wrong to want a car that doesn't break down? I don't think it's wrong. I think that's a decent material ambition. Decent. Obviously, these are not as important as other things, but I think a good job is worth obtaining. These are material things. They're not going to last forever, but they're going to last a while, right? We're talking about 70 years you have to live in this life, maybe 80 years. They're worth obtaining. And if you don't bother obtaining them, well, then the chances are you're going to be sorry when you get older, right? Or you're going to be sorry when you're driving through the desert and your car breaks down because you didn't bother obtaining something that you needed. Yeah. Well, how about if we don't just count material things? Because I believe, I tell my people that I have to pastor. I mean, I win them to the Lord and then it's my job to give them some advice or whatever. And they'll ask me for advice. What should I do here? I tell them, obtain. I just told a family just the other day, obtain your own home. You shouldn't be living with your dad. You shouldn't be living with your mom. Your wife shouldn't have to put up with that. You ought to get out there on your own and separate from your mom and your dad. That's what the Bible says. He shall cleave to his wife. He shall leave his father and mother, right? He says, yes, right, you're right. So he went out and obtained his own little piece of land. And he's out there putting his own little piece of bricks on this piece of land. And he's going to put his own little roof on his own little piece of land. Now I realize that's not a tremendous ambition, but it's an ambition. And this piece of land he obtained is no bigger than this section of seats right here. And he's going to put his house on there and he's going to live there for 50 years. He's going to raise his kids there and his grandkids are going to live with him. That's just the way it is, you know. But it's not wrong to have a little ambition. It's not wrong to have a little bit of pride in the things, the material things you've got. I think you ought to mow your grass. I think you ought to sweep your front room and vacuum. I think you ought to trim your trees and wash your car. I think you ought to have decent clothes. I just don't see the reason why we should be so foolish as to not even take care of the simple basic things. Yeah, brush your teeth, comb your hair, you know? There are some material things worth obtaining. However, even lost people know the difference between these type of things and other earthly things that are worth obtaining. Earthly things, say a college education, I think it's worth obtaining. Now, why is it worth obtaining? Well, because it gives you advantages. Now, this is an earthly thing. You know, we can get so spiritually minded that we don't stop and think about these important earthly things that are worth obtaining. For example, I've written down a few. Think about this. You're talking about earthly. Let's not get so spiritual minded that all we think of is spiritual things. But some things are more important than others. Isn't freedom more important than a house? Amen. Just ask the blacks of 150 years ago whether freedom was worth obtaining. Ask the Russians who had to risk their lives whether freedom was worth obtaining. Yes, freedom is worth obtaining. But freedom is earthly. Did you realize that? I mean, it's only going to last a little while, right? But the Bible, even the Bible says, if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. So, freedom is worth obtaining, even in the Bible. There are some earthly things worth obtaining. How about a good wife? Isn't that worth obtaining? Doesn't the Bible say, he that gets a good wife gets a good thing? I mean, this is a good thing, right? Now, I know that not everybody's going to get the good wife. I know, I understand that. I know everybody's not going to get the good husband. But I would say it's something worth setting your goals, your ambitions on, right? You young men ought to consider that. You young women ought to consider that. Get a good one. I mean, if you can, get a good one. And once you see the good one, don't wait around, man. Snatch her right up. I mean, meet her on Monday and marry her on Sunday. But still, it's only earthly. Jesus said it's not going to last into heaven. It's not going to last into the resurrection. It's just for the care of this life. It's just for the time that we are here. These are earthly ambitions. Is there anything greater? Yeah, there is. There are greater ambitions. So you've got some problems here in this life. All right, so you're not free. So you're one of them slaves. You know, in Africa, they still have slavery. They just proved it. They've just proved that they have Africa over there in one of those countries over there. They have slavery. I mean, lifetime slavery, just like, you know what slavery is? They've got it right there in Africa right to this day. And these people might feel pretty lousy. You know, there are some people who will never own their own home. There are some people who never dream of owning a fishing boat. Never dream. It's not even in their dreams. Ain't that right? You look at the people that we're dealing with, their ambitions, their dreams sometimes are to have a good week this week, enough to feed their kids without rummaging through garbage. These are ambitions. And so, can we say that we have to feel terribly sorry for them? Listen, these are earthly problems. There are greater ambitions. There are things worth obtaining. Think about this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Something worth obtaining. It says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Some things are beyond this earth. They last longer than this life. That means they're more important to obtain. I think it was Solomon says, with all thy getting, get wisdom. Well, let me tell you something. With all thy getting, get salvation. Amen. I mean, if you're not saved, get saved. If you don't understand what that means, find out. Salvation is worth obtaining. Why? Because no matter what you have, no matter what problems you've gone through in this life, no matter how poor you are, no matter how difficult things are in this life, no matter how you fail in this life, if you get salvation, I mean, it just lasts forever. He says, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. Now, everlasting life is something worth obtaining because it's everlasting. My goodness, what good would it do for you to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What good would that do? That wouldn't do any good. It would be better for you to walk barefoot and hungry all your life and watch your children starve as long as you got salvation. If you get salvation, you got something really worth obtaining. Well, what about salvation of others? What about souls saved? Don't you think that's worth obtaining? Isn't it worth obtaining the salvation of your children? Isn't it worth obtaining the salvation of your neighbors? How about your coworkers? Is that salvation worth obtaining? Oh my, yes. It's worth obtaining. It's such a goal, it's such a tremendous ambition that it's worth doing. It's worth being embarrassed. It's worth having a little bit of difficulty. It's worth offending hearers, bystanders. It's worth it. Why? Because it lasts forever. It lasts forever. These are ambitions that are worth having. Winning souls! You say, sometimes you, I know, if you're a missionary, you're a preacher, you're a pastor, you're in some way involved in some spiritual ministry, some days you wake up and think, it ain't worth it. It's just not worth it. I remember a day when I went downtown preaching with somebody, I don't remember who it was, but we were downtown preaching, and I mean, this was in León, I mean, these people were ugly. I mean, they were throwing things, they would take coins, these big old Mexican coins that weren't worth any money, but they were big coins, and they'd toss them at you, and they'd smack you in the back of the head or something. Or they would toss water on you. Or they'd take a straight pin and stab it into your rear end while you're trying to talk to somebody. Or they'd take a drunk, they'd go out and find a drunk, and run him up there and run him right into you, knock you down with him. And then they'd accuse you of knocking the drunk down. I walked away, I'm done. Just walked away. These people aren't worth it. I even was talking to God. Lord, I'm walking away back to my car. Lord, these people aren't worth my time. And a little tap on the shoulder. Excuse me. Yes? I heard what you had to say, and I was wondering if you could teach me the Bible. I mean, right at the moment, I'm saying, God, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. And she taps me on the shoulder and says, would you please teach me the Bible? Well, sure. She gave me her address. I went there the next couple of days, and I taught her the Bible, and her brother was in the room, and her father was in the other room. And then another sister comes in, and they start walking through, and I'm teaching her the Bible. And I did this week after week. And after a while, she got saved. And her sister got saved. And her brother got saved. And her father got saved. And his other sons got saved. And his wife got saved. And her younger ones got saved. And they got married. And their children got saved. And one of them, her brother, is one of the elders in the church in León to this day. Let me tell you something. Is it worth saving a soul? It's worth it. It's worth obtaining. Obtaining. So run that you may obtain. I'd say seeing souls saved is worth it. How about, look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now what have you done to obtain a better resurrection? Did you know you can obtain a better resurrection? Is it possible that some people are going to have a better resurrection than others? Yeah, it is. And these things, they last a long time. You see, in the resurrection, it's not going to end. It's going to last a long time. So run that you may obtain. A better resurrection is worth obtaining. Look at verse 3, 11:3. Make it verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. A good report from God. God said, these did good. I'm proud of these. Yeah, they sinned, but they obtained a good report. You see, the only thing that's important is what's on the report card. That's what's important. What's written down on that report card. You know, my kids did sort of lousy this year. I'm not sure why in their all year they were getting bad grades on their tests. And we'd go talk to the teachers, what's the problem? Well, they don't pay attention. So we'd take them home and we'd put them to work. They'd say, well, they're lazy. They don't finish their homework. We'd get these marks on there. All my children, except for Donnie, because he's in correspondence school. Yeah, he did lousy too. So, well, whatever. You know, we were grading him. But you know, they got bad grades all through the test and all these things. And so we would go to the teacher and we'd say, okay, what are we doing wrong here? What can we do here? And we would write notes back and forth to the teacher and we'd punish them. They had to do extra double chores when they were lazy and all that. We did all these things and they kept getting these things, these bad marks. But in the last little period of time that they had to do it, they got good grades. They started getting their allowance back, you know? And the teachers were impressed. And so, when their final report card came back, we noticed a whole bunch of them grades had been changed. Isn't that interesting? They've been changed. They've been raised up. They've been, you know, worked out. And our kids got good report cards. Well, isn't that what's important? You know, when you got this report card right there at the end, it says it was a good report. You know how many times I was disappointed this year? I was disappointed. But when that final report card came, the one that we have to keep and sign and put in the records, well, that was a good report. But you know, you can obtain a good report from God. You've messed up. You've messed up in this life lots of times. But you can obtain a good report from God. Did you know that it's possible that God might forget your sins? He might just forget. Is that possible? You know, you've done some pretty rotten things. You've thought some even rottener things. And God just might forget it. He just might overlook it. Set it aside and say, no, that's under the blood. It's gone. It's dissolved. It's not there. You say, Lord, I'm a failure! He says, well, so run that you might obtain. Don't give up now. There is still a chance that you can obtain a good report from God. You might come down to the end and have this testimony that you pleased God. Amen. So run that you might obtain. And another thing I thought about when I read this, so run that you may obtain. And that is that obtaining these things is possible. When we first, 21 years ago, when we first started having these missions, actually it was 20 years ago, when we first started having these mission conferences or world evangelism conferences, I remember the speakers. You were there, Willie, I mean, you were preaching away, and Brother Joe West was there, and a whole bunch of other missionaries were there, and they were preaching, and I remember listening to this. I mean, there's so many millions of people. There's so many obstacles. There's so few laborers. There's no money. I started looking at this problem, this great commission, this thing that we were supposed to do. And there's so few of us who understand. And I was thinking, how are we going to do this? And you know, over the years, we've talked it over, man. We can raise money here in this way, and we can publish in the newspapers, and we can do all kinds of things. And we're trying to think, but even so, the task just looks too big. I mean, the millions in China, there's just too many of them. And I got the impression that this was not a doable task. So my job was just to do what I could do. So I began to do what I could do. I had to start setting aside my burdens for the great task and start applying myself to do the small tasks that were in front of me that I could actually do. And you know, something that has come to my attention is that the Great Commission, this command, this job He has told us to do, is a doable job. Now let me explain to you what I'm talking about. First of all, we can't make it a doable job by changing the command. The command is, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're not going to make this an easier command. We're going to do exactly what He said. He did not say, spread the gospel, share the gospel, publish the gospel. He did not say, raise money, build orphanages, come up with better methods. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, but if we think of it like that, it's not possible. He did not say, go into all the world and establish seminaries. We went over to Poland, and we were talking with some missionaries there, and, you know, we're wanting to preach, and we don't have the language, and we talked to these brothers there, and they're saying, yeah, well, we're teaching in this seminary here. Studied 8 years in seminary. Learned Greek and Hebrew, and now he's in Poland, and he's teaching people Greek and Hebrew in order to train them as pastors and as preachers. And I remember Brent's answer. He said, brother, all you can teach in a seminary is how to teach in a seminary. Have you thought about that? All you can teach in a seminary is how to teach in a seminary. Now that's the truth. You want to teach somebody how to preach? You have to preach. I got up one morning and I got my Bible together and I got my tracts, folded them up, got them ready. Walk out the door, we're going to preach downtown. Actually, it wasn't in the morning, it was in the afternoon. Walked outside, waited for the bus. The bus come, I step on the bus. I'm headed toward town. And as I was walking back through the aisles, I sat down beside a young man or behind a young man. He turned around and he saw my Bible, whatever. He said, I've seen you preach. I said, well, good. He said, I'm a Christian. Good. I'm saved. Yeah. Great. You know what church do you go to? And so we had a little, he says, I'm also wanting to serve God. I'm also wanting to give my life to preach. And I'm looking for a seminary. And you're from San Antonio. I hear there's a seminary in San Antonio. I said, yeah, you know, there is a seminary in San Antonio, but there's not a seminary in the Bible. And his mouth sort of dropped open a little bit, and it like dawned upon him, you know, you're right. So what do I do? How do I learn how to preach? I said, just go preach. What do you have to learn? What do you have to, just go preach. Do you know how simple the job is to do? He said, go to every creature and preach the gospel to every creature. Go, you figure out what is necessary to do, and you go preach the gospel to them. Let me tell you something. You cannot change the command and expect to please God. You get discouraged, Warren. You get up in the morning, and you get up, and you start walking out, and you say, it's waste. I'm not winning the souls. I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to do. I'm not accomplishing the task. I know you get discouraged. But did you ever stop and think that God said, get up and go preach the gospel to every creature? And so you get up, and you walk out. You say, how do I do it? Oh, you just walk out the front door. You walk to the end of the block. You knock on the door. You say, I'm going to be preaching out here in the street. You hand them a tract. You walk to the next door. When you finish all those doors on that block, you walk out into the middle of the street, and you preach what you know. And you walk home discouraged because only a couple of heads popped out the doors. Only one old lady down the road brought her lawn chair out and sat on the lawn to watch you preach. You get discouraged. I know you get discouraged. But did you know something? God in heaven says, hey, look at Roland there. Did you notice that? He actually did what I told him to do. Amen. He didn't say become the vice president of a tremendous ministry. He didn't say raise money. He didn't say begin orphanages or establish seminaries or do all kinds of things. That might be hard to do. But it's not hard to preach the gospel to every creature. You say, but if we do that, we're talking about one or two or 10 or 15 or 100 people at a time. We can't do it. All right. That also dawned upon me one day. When I wake up, you know, and I'm starting to look at the map where we've gone preaching. And, hey, you know, we've covered most of this city. I'm thinking, how is that possible? You stop and think about this. I preach usually to about 20 houses. Take about 10 houses on each side of the block, and these are short houses. You know, they're not a real huge area. I don't know how many y'all would do here. But let's say I average 20 houses a day. And let's say, this is a low estimate, that there's 5 inhabitants per each house. Well, that's 100 people every day I preach to. And the next day I go to a whole nother section. And I knock on all those doors. And there's 5 inhabitants there of each house, and there's 20 houses. That's 100 people tomorrow. That's 5, if I do it 5 days a week, that's 500 people a week I preach to. And did you stop and think about this? That's 20, if I do it 40 weeks a year, which is about what we do, 40 weeks a year, maybe a little bit more. But that's 20,000 people a year. One person, me, preaches to. I can say I preach to an average of better than 20,000 different people every year. In 5 years, that's 100,000 people. And in 50 years, that's 1,000,000 people. Did you know that one preacher, listen to me, one preacher could preach to every single person in San Antonio in their lifetime? 50 years preaching, you could cover San Antonio, one person. That doesn't sound so incredible, impossible. And that's just one. You know what I've noticed? That when I stand out there and preach, other people get the heebie-jeebies and they want to do it too. I'm not kidding. Who would have guessed? You'd think that nobody would want to receive Coke bottles in the shins. Nobody would want to be standing there and hear something whistle by his ear and turn around and look at a lag bolt that big that put a dent in the tree right behind him. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody. Nobody wants to be sitting there reading your Bible while an old lady comes out with a 5-gallon bucket of water and dumps it on top of you. Who would want to do that? But there are dozens of people who want to do that. Because God teaches people how to preach when He has missionaries who preach. Now, we can do this job. When He says, so run that ye may obtain, that means ye may obtain. You can actually do the job. And when you're done, you can walk home and say, Lord, I did the job. I did what You told me to do. Now, you'll get some criticism. I never dreamed when I was getting ready to go as a missionary, I never dreamed that I would be hated. I mean, seriously hated. I thought that I would be liked. But you know what we learned, Mike? We learned there in Leon that we were famous and hated. I guess that's called infamous. Not only did just about everybody recognize us, but they hated us. They thought, even the people who didn't care about the gospel, they weren't necessarily against it, they weren't devout, what they thought we were just troublemakers. They still to this day. You got a judge throws you in jail, John. Says, no, I'm sorry, I'm fining you. You're guilty. She doesn't even listen to you. She doesn't care. She hates you. She doesn't like you at all. I don't want that. I don't want that. You might be hated, but you know something? At the end of time, at the end of when your day is time, when your day comes, your time is up, and God says, come on home. It's time to come home. You can walk up to God and say, Lord, man, I sinned, I failed, I did this and that, and I know all that, but you told me to preach, and I preach.
Amen.
You said, preach it to every creature, and I didn't pass up one house. I knocked on every door, and I waited for a response. And then I walked back again, and I did it again. I preached, Lord. You said to preach, and I did. And you know what you'll obtain? A good report.
Amen.
You will obtain souls. But there's another thing I thought. If obtaining is possible, it is also possible to run and not obtain. Have you ever stopped and thought of the tragedy of someone who spends their entire life, a devout Roman Catholic, an upstanding citizen, a man who does right by his children, does right by his wife, lives well in what he knows. He actually tries to obtain heaven, to deserve it, and he failed. Did you ever stop and think that's possible? That a man could try to deserve heaven and not obtain? A man can try to deserve heaven and not obtain it. It's happening all over the world. To this day, right now, in this moment, there are people probably in this room who are trying to observe God's laws, trying to do things by his conscience, who actually make sacrifices to please God, and they will not obtain because they just don't understand what God has said. They just don't understand what the gospel means. They don't understand the gospel message. They will actually try and not obtain. They will run, but they will not obtain what they run for. Just like these Olympics. The vast majority of Olympic triers don't obtain a gold medal. And if you want to find out how valuable a silver medal is, find out just how many people who are advertising cereals with silver medals. People with silver medals do not advertise cereals. They don't advertise cars. Only gold medals advertise cereals. Isn't that interesting? Did you realize second place doesn't help? It doesn't do you any good. You're not going to get rich if you and nobody knows who you are because all you got was a silver medal. And that's the way it should be if you're, you know, Olympian. But did you know it's also possible for you as a Christian to try to obtain certain things and fail? It's possible for you as a missionary to try to build a church and fail. And not obtain it. Try to win souls and not obtain the soul. Did you know that it depends on how you run? So run that you may obtain. That says you might not obtain. And it depends on how you run. That's what it says. Let me look at a couple other things. 1 Corinthians 9 again. It's important that you do not spend your life and build a ministry and do everything that you can and get down to the end time and wind up saying, Lord, I ran, but I did not obtain. I tried, but I failed. You can run and obtain. You can also run and not obtain. And we're not even talking about those who don't run, who don't even try. Look what it says in verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You know, there's a lot of things I could tell you how to run and not obtain. How to run and not obtain. Because we've all done it. All of us know ways to run and not obtain. But I'm just going to mention the four here that Paul mentions. He says if you want to run and obtain, you need to be temperate. Temperate, self-disciplined. Have a little bit of self-control. Have a little bit of discipline. Have a little bit of moderation. Don't be excessive in what you do. Be temperate. He says, whoever strives for this mastery, you want to obtain? What is it that you want to obtain? You want to obtain a spiritual goal? Something that's going to last forever? Well, then be temperate. That means avoid sin. You say, but what could that have to do with anything? Avoid sin in your mind. How could anybody know the sins in my mind? How could that affect anything? You see, to obtain these things, you must please God. God is the one who grants the increase. He says God gives the increase. And so if you have to please God to obtain these things, you have to please God in the spirit of your mind. You must be renewed in your mind. You cannot live in sin, walk in sin, think filth, live, you cannot live in sin and expect to please God and then expect God to let you obtain what you're seeking for. It is important to be temperate. It is important, if you want to obtain, to stay away from sin. And it's important also to stay away from the world. You must avoid being entangled in the things of this world. You must avoid it if you want to obtain. If you don't care about obtaining, then don't worry. You won't. But if you want to obtain, you must be temperate in all things. You must be careful how you let the world affect you. You cannot expect to live as just any other man for this world and expect to obtain a church or souls saved or godly children or whatever other spiritual goal you want. You must be temperate. You must avoid the world. You must live upright. You must please God by your thoughts, by your actions, by your life. That's one way to obtain. You can run and not obtain if you do this, if you do not do this. Another thing, look at verse 26. He says, I therefore so run. How do I run? I therefore so run. He wants to obtain. How therefore does he run? I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. You must know your goal. You must be single-minded. You must make a decision what it is you want. I remember John says, brother, I feel like I'm called to be a missionary. I said, okay, sounds good. You know, whatever. He says, but I'm thinking about being a missionary for a couple years and coming back and finishing college. I said, well, you need to decide whether you want to finish college or whether you want to be a missionary. It's not bad to finish college. I've told lots of people, yeah, go finish college, then be a missionary. But you got to decide. Because you can't be a decent missionary if you have another goal. You have to decide. Make up your mind. Make a decision. What is it that you want? You want spiritual goals? Then you're going to have to set certain things aside to go for those spiritual goals. You might not be able to take that promotion. You might not be able to move that new house. You might not be able to buy that new boat. You might not be able to just do the things you want to do. You have to make up your mind. He says, I'm running, but not uncertainly. I know what I'm running after. I have an exact picture in my mind of what I want. He says, I want to gain souls. I want to win souls. And so I have run now for a lot of years. I have run, not uncertainly. I know exactly what I want. I want souls. What do you want? What do you want? Find out. Figure it out. And then run certainly. Single-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So run with a single mind, a focused mind. Decide what you want. You want to start a church? Start a church. Start a church. Go after that. Don't go after a better job, a promotion. Don't go after a better school district. Find out what you want and go for that. And you'll obtain it. So run that you may obtain. Look at verse 26 again. He says, so fight I. How does he fight? So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Beateth the air. I used to fight Eddie all the time. We used to fight all the time. But for some reason, I was just always beating the air. And every so often, pow! I wasn't beating the air anymore. He would smack me. And I'd get up and I'd beat the air. I was never landing nothing. And there were two reasons for that. One is because my arms were shorter than Eddie's. And he was a little taller. But another reason was I knew if I ever hit him, he was really going to let me have it. So I just pretended. Not beating the air. What do you want? You want to start a church, John? You want to see this church established? You want to win some souls? Well, don't beat the air. You got to go for it. You got to decide what you want, and you have to go for it. Now, one way to beat the air, one way just to sit there and pretend you're doing something is to, instead of actually going for souls or going for an established church or going for something like that, you could just pretend that everything's just hunky-dory fine, just the way it is. We spent 2 years in Leon knocking on doors because I had it in my head that God had told me, Bill, if you just lose all these trappings, if you just get rid of all these crutches, you can walk out there and do the thing I told you to do. You can preach the gospel to every creature just that way. You don't have to do anything else. You just go simply and do what I told you to do. Focus yourself on my command and do that, and I will give you the fruit. I had it in my head. He had told me that. And so, yes, we've been knocking on doors for 2 years and didn't win anybody. Didn't establish any home Bible studies. Didn't establish a church. And you know, I had a lot of people during those 2 years say, well, Bill, you're just doing, you're doing fine. You're doing what God, sometimes it's just not God's will. Sometimes it's just not God's will for you to see the results of your labors. And I was tempted, you know, to go along with that. Yeah, sometimes, you know, we have to look at the bright side. But you know, there was no bright side. There was no silver lining to that cloud. It was just a dark cloud. There were no souls. And I had gone to win souls. There were no victories. And I had gone to achieve victories. There was no proof that doing what God told you to do would actually give you the souls or give you the victory. So you can beat the air if you want. You can put a good face on miserable victory if you want. But you will not obtain what you're looking for if you're willing to lie to yourself when you don't receive it. Don't lie to yourself. What are you wanting to do? You want to win souls and you say, I'm not winning souls. Well, then admit that. Then you can go to God and say, Lord, I'm not winning souls. You can be like Rachel and say, Jacob, give me children else I die. I want children. There is no good face you can put on this. I am barren. Give me children else I die. And then, yes, it's possible. It's possible, I guess, that you could still fail. But you are certain to fail if you put a victory face on a miserable failure. Don't you walk in the attitude that you're just doing fine. This is God's will for San Antonio Church here in 602 just to be 50 people forever. Don't walk with that attitude that you can knock on doors for year after year after year and not see the fruit of your labors. Don't walk with the attitude that you can harvest, you can plant, you can water, you can till the soil, you can do all of that and not bring home your sheaves. Don't walk with that attitude. Don't put a good face on failure. I told Mom when she was talking to me one day that this is just sometimes the way it happens. No! I will not accept it! That's not what I came here to do. If I don't win souls in Leon, if I don't start a church in Leon, then I'm finished. I'm beat. I'm a miserable failure. I was wrong. I'd have to go back to some other thing. Somebody else had to teach me what I need to do. If God didn't tell me to do this, then it's over. I have no other place to go because I have to have this. And you know something? You know what that made us? It made us start going back and forth. What's wrong, Mike? What's wrong, Brent? What's wrong, Dad? And I called a fast. I said, I want to fast. I want to pray because I'm not reaping the souls that I contracted out for. I'm not getting the fruit that I wanted. I'm just beating the air. And you know, we went and prayed. We fasted 2 or 3 days, 4 days. I don't remember how long it was. We fasted. We prayed. We banged our heads. And a month later, Cindy died. And things, you know, sort of crash in. And God says, if you run to obtain, you're going to obtain. I'm going to give you the fruit of your labors. Nobody works and doesn't receive the fruit of their labors. Nobody plants a vineyard and doesn't receive the fruit of that vineyard. You want to obtain? Then don't put a good face when you don't obtain. Don't act like you're doing fine. Be willing to stand up and say, look, I'm failing. I need help. Somebody tell me what I'm doing wrong. And if you're willing to go for it, then God's going to give you that victory. And when it happens, you can sit back and say, look at that. Look at that. I've obtained. You know something? I'm going to be able to walk into the presence of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be able to point behind me at somebody following me. And I'm going to say, Lord, here is my joy and crown. Here is my hope of glory. Here is my crown of rejoicing. Here they are. Lord, you gave these to me. You are too. Because you ran so as to obtain. One more thing. Verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This has been preached on several times this week. You need to endure. You want to obtain? You got to endure. You just got to keep on. How many years you been preaching, Willie? 42 years. Just endure. Man, you've been knocked down a few times. Just get back up and keep on going. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be set on the shelf. I'm not done yet. I'm still going. I'm not ready to quit. You ready to quit? How about it, Michael? I mean, some things you're going tough. No, not ready to quit. So you're young. That's true. Maybe you got other plans. I don't know. But if you want to obtain, you just got to keep on plugging. You just keep on going year after year. We had a men's meeting just a couple, 6 months ago maybe, and the brothers from Salamanca had to confess that they'd quit preaching. And they said, well, you know, we started off good. We were doing this, that, and the other thing. And I told them, I said, brothers, you know, you have got to set up a schedule that you can last on for years. Don't be setting yourself up such an ambitious goal that you're going to do as much as you can for about 3 weeks and then fizzle out and quit. Say, I can't handle it anymore. No, set yourself up a schedule that you can just walk on for years and just keep on doing it. Don't be so proud that you're going to do better than the next guy. Do what you can do that you can last for a year. Just keep on going so that 20 years from now you can say, old brother Hector over there, he's still preaching. Why? Well, because he set himself up to endure. He says, so run that ye may obtain. That means adjust your running. You know, these runners, they have to adjust their speed because they want to get to the end. Isn't that true? They want to get to the end. Well, adjust whatever you have to adjust. But run so as to obtain, that means make sure you make the finish line. You just keep on going. You just set yourself up and you endure so that you're not a castaway. You can obtain! So run that you may obtain. Amen.